Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. Please join me in the reading of today's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
Good morning. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Holy Father, as we now stand before the truth of your word, we pray, Lord God, that your word would examine us, Lord, and expose to us the things in our lives, Lord, that need correcting and reproof. Also, Lord, we pray that we receive the encouragement and comfort of your word. For we know, Lord God, that your word, all of it, is breathed out by you. And so, Lord, because we have the benefit of this trustworthy word, unlike any other, we pray, Lord God, that our confidence, Lord, would be in the veracity, the reliability, the authority of your blessed word, which you have providentially granted to us through our Bibles, Holy Scripture, for your glory and for the upbuilding of your church, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 16. One of the central truths of the gospel, which we've studied together throughout the years, is what is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within all genuine believers in Christ Jesus. As many of us know, the Holy Spirit works in our lives in various ways. As we've emphasized in the past, the Holy Spirit illuminates Scripture that we may understand God's Word rightly and savingly. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit inclines our hearts to the things of God and empowers us to grow in Christ-like holiness. In addition, we learn in the gospel that the Holy Spirit provides us with assurance that we are indeed children of God and thereby enables us to address God as our Abba Father, with an attitude of intimate trust and love. And let us also not forget that the Holy Spirit bestows on believers spiritual gifts for building up the body of Christ. Since the Holy Spirit dwells within all who truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel tells us that all believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit marks them as God's own. And so we read in Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. All believers are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit refers to what? It refers to his permanent abode within us, working in these various ways that we've just mentioned. If we trust in Christ today, it is a fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and is doing his work in us. Well, our text for today talks about a different kind of indwelling. Talks about letting the word of Christ dwell in us. What does this mean? Let the word of Christ dwell in you, as we read in verse 16 in today's text. Well, it means to let the word of Christ take permanent residence within us. The word of Christ ought not to be merely a guest we entertain every now and then, maybe on Sundays and a couple of times throughout the week. The word of Christ is intended for God's people to be a permanent resident within our hearts. We should constantly contemplate the word of Christ. Constantly rely on its precepts, principles, to guide us all throughout each day, from the moment we wake to the moment we sleep. We should never tune out the knowledge of Christ's word, no matter what challenges we face. If you're anything like me, we're prone to doing just that. In the heat of frustration and anger and conflict, even then, we must let the word of Christ take front and center in our thoughts. We must let the word of Christ restrain us, reprove us, remind us of how we ought to conduct ourselves in the sight of God. I was reading about cave diving a couple weeks ago and how dangerous that is, and oftentimes in locations where people cave dive, warning signs are placed all around, outside the water, inside the water, even up to the very entrance of the cave. Warning people that it's not too late to turn back. I think that's how the word of Christ looks like when it dwells within us, even in our heated moments. We're prone to go deeper and deeper into our anger, our frustration, our ill temper. The word of Christ is restraining us, reproving us. It's not too late to turn away from it, to take a step back, to repent. Don't just keep going further and further and deeper into it, into unrighteous, unjustified anger. The word of Christ must take front and center at all times, even at times where we are prone to tune it out. Even when we're not literally sitting down and reading the word of Christ, we should cherish in our hearts all that Christ's word has taught us and allow what we have learned to control our attitudes, behaviors, decisions. I think that's the meaning of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Throughout Colossians, the word of Christ is referred to by other names. In verse 5 of chapter 1, the word of Christ is referred to as the word of the truth, the gospel. In verse 25 of chapter 1, the word of Christ is referred to as the word of God. The word of Christ. The word of the truth, the gospel. And the word of God are all essentially referring to the same thing. Holy Scripture. All Scripture is the word of Christ, which is the word of God. To let the word of Christ dwell in us richly is to let Scripture dwell in us richly. So we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is breathed out by God. As John Frame reminds us, to breathe out words is simply to speak them. All Scripture is God's own word spoken to us. That's what is meant when we read in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And since this is the case, we can know that all Scripture is true. We read in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. We read in Titus chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time, manifested in His Word. God never lies. Every word of His proves true. Can't say that about anyone else's words. And that's why, as children of our Heavenly Father, we must let Scripture dwell in us richly. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Jesus, our Lord, treated Scripture as God's words. And we see a prime example of this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to 5. In the words of our Lord and Savior, He answered, have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, who said? He who created them from the beginning, it's referring to God, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So here in verse 5 of Matthew 19, Jesus quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And what does He do? He attributes these words to whom? To God, He who created man from the beginning. Yet, if we flip back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we would see no indication that this was a direct statement from God. We don't read anything like, thus says the Lord, or anything like that. In fact, Genesis 2:24 is a statement by the narrator of that chapter, of the Genesis creation account. Jesus, however, asserts it was God who said these words. And this only makes sense when we understand that it was God who spoke through the writers of Scripture, guiding them by His Spirit to write all the words He wanted them to write. Not only statements explicitly attributed to God, but all the words of Scripture are God's words. All of Scripture originates from Him. All Scripture is breathed out by God. The clear teaching of the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, as we probably know, we know our Bibles, Jesus was tempted 3 times by Satan. In response to Satan's initial temptation, what does Jesus do? Jesus cites Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He cites Scripture. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And with each subsequent temptation, what does Jesus do? He responds to the devil by citing more scripture. Deuteronomy 6:16, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then Deuteronomy 6:13, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." There's a lesson here for us. What is that lesson? Every word that comes from the mouth of God is scripture. Jesus, our Lord, explicitly calls scripture the word of God in John chapter 10, verse 31 to 36. Let's read that incident. "The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, 'I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?' The Jews answered him, 'It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God.' Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?'" What's going on here? Well, Jesus had just stated that he and the Father are one. And now the Jews wanted to stone him for blasphemy. Jesus responds to the accusation of blasphemy by citing Psalm 82:6, where human judges are called gods because they were his representatives on earth. If unjust human judges could be called gods, in a sense, due to their divinely appointed position, how much more, Jesus reasons, could the incarnate Son of God, the third person of the triune Godhead, refer to himself as capital G, God? But the point of bringing up this passage is verse 35, which I'd like to draw our attention to. Here, Jesus equates the word of God with scripture. John 10:35. "If he called them gods to whom the word of God came," and scripture cannot be broken, the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken. What is the word of God? Jesus tells us it's scripture. And if scripture is the word of God, then it cannot be broken. That's what Jesus asserts. And scripture cannot be broken. What does that mean? It means it cannot be annulled. Its authority is absolute, permanent. Scripture cannot be broken, in the words of our Lord and Savior. Why? All scripture is breathed out by God. In Acts chapter 1, the Apostle Peter asserts that God spoke by the mouth of David when he wrote the Psalms. He didn't just give David some ideas to run with. He spoke by the mouth of David. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. And you skip down to verse 20 of chapter 1. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. The Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas. What is this referring to? It's referring to David's Psalms, as they're quoted there a few verses later in verse 20. The Spirit of God spoke by the mouth of David when he wrote his Psalms. The Spirit of God spoke by the mouth of all the prophets and apostles who wrote the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. As it is written in 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's essentially saying the same thing as what we read in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God breathed out by God. Seeing that scripture is no less than the word of God, which Jesus tells us cannot be broken, cannot be annulled, cannot be set aside. What does our text tell us? Let it dwell in us richly. If there's anything that believers ought to have take up residence in their hearts for all days and all times, it's the word of Christ. Scripture. God's word will never deceive us. It alone is absolutely trustworthy. And since this is the case, our text for today goes on to tell us that we should teach and admonish each other with scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. The teaching and admonishment of Christ's word has all wisdom as its goal. That's why we ought to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. It will produce all wisdom in us. What does that mean, all wisdom? Well, I take all wisdom to mean wisdom for all circumstances. God's word gives us the wisdom we need to please Him in all occasions, whatever those occasions may be, as perplexing as they may be, as confusing as they may be, as difficult as they may be. The occasion may be how to treat our personal enemies, or how to confront a fellow brother in Christ, or what it means to forgive others, or how we are to show love to others, or how to find inner peace in a world plunged into turmoil. And over the past several weeks, our study of Colossians 2 yielded much wisdom in regards to these matters and more. If you think back over the past several weeks, we had talked about all of those subjects in terms of what the Word of Christ teaches. And it's because we treat the Word of Christ like an occasional guest instead of a permanent resident within us that we do not reap more benefit from its teaching and admonition. And as a result, we wind up acting foolishly as we go through the difficult challenges we face in the world and within the church to our own hurt and to the displeasure of God. We suffer the consequences of our foolishness, which could have been avoided if we had just let the Word of God dwell in us richly, ever mindful of its teaching, ever mindful of its admonishment. We read in Proverbs 10:13, "On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense." We can avoid so much unnecessary suffering. Suffering due to the consequences of our foolishness, if we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. The Word of Christ is Scripture. Are we letting His Word dwell within us? Are we relying on His Word? Are we relying on what His Word has taught us as we consider how we should act, or what we should say, or what choices we should make as we face the trials and temptations of each day? Are we contemplating the teaching and admonishment of Christ's Word shared through our fellow brethren in Christ, particularly those who are wiser in the Word than we? And if we are, as our passage teaches us, we will grow in a wisdom that is adequate for any and all circumstances. We will know what is pleasing to God, regardless of how perplexing our circumstances may be. We will grow wise in the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. That is essentially the teaching of the first part of verse 16 of Colossians 3. Our Lord willing, we'll go over the remainder of verse 16 of Colossians 3 next Sunday. Until then, let's now turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, as those who trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, all He has said, all He has done, we pray, Lord God, we would let the Word of Christ Jesus, our Lord, dwell in us richly. The Word of the truth, the Word of God, as it is called elsewhere in this precious book of Colossians. And by so doing, we pray, Lord God, that Your Word will be effective within us for all wisdom. Wisdom for all kinds of circumstances. We need that wisdom. We live in a very unusual strange, bewildering world. And yet, Lord God, we have the benefit of this, the Word of God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And as you, as your Son has taught us, the Word of God is Scripture, and Scripture cannot be broken. So we have all that we need for wisdom, to please you, and to do what is good and right in your sight in this strange, dark, evil world. And so we pray, Lord God, as we let your word dwell in us richly, that we would, in fact, display in our own lives, in our own various difficulties and challenges, this blessed wisdom of God that is taught to us in your word. Unlike the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God that bears good fruit, the fruit of the character of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who is infinitely wise, as you are infinitely wise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.